Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Nightlight. Step away from the mainstream and gather around as we enlighten the world and our realities and travel this cosmic journey we call life. Join us as we share with you and provide that beacon that can guide us all to a better way. Explore with us as we examine a metaphysical montage of spiritual insights, covering everything from the mundane to the magical, UFOs to unicorns, and everything in between. This is a time of awakening, of sharing and evolving, of spreading our wings and soaring on the cosmic breath of creation. Come and join with other light-minded spirits as we weave our lights together to seek understanding, enlightenment, and with a little luck, some wisdom. This is Nightlight, a reminder that you are never alone.
March is finally here. Happy birthday, Barbara. Welcome to Nightlight, everyone. I did some stress eating over the winter, and I'm looking forward to cutting grass and doing more outdoor activities like weed eating, trimming the bushes, etc. I hope we have an enjoyable, normal summer, but we can start a healthy lifestyle now before summer arrives. And to help us get started, we have a stress management coach, Victoria Ace Avedo. She was a guest with our friends over at the Three Beards podcast a couple months ago, and I was very impressed with her information. Craig Ansell connected us, and here she is. Let's learn some new stress management strategies, healthy food choices, and the role of biofeedback, and how all this can be incorporated into finding balance. You can learn more about Victoria by going to her website, quantumrejuvenation.org. Hi, Victoria. How are you?
Hi, how are you? I'm well.
Fine.
I hope everybody's doing fine.
Thank you for bringing your important information to Nightlight. I'm fascinated by your subject material, and I'm appreciative that you're joining us to add more diversity to our repertoire. That's going to be an awesome show. Since many of us have been in a funk, let's look at several strategies to get out of it. You wanted to stress the use of colors. Should we maybe paint our offices wear different color clothes? How can colors help us?
Color is important because each mm-hmm. color has its own frequency. And I'm really known as like the frequency lady. I really get into that. So each color has its own frequency. It's going to match your chakras. It's going to match your mood. It's going to enhance your mood. Colors such as yellow are going to get you more excited. So if you want your office to, you know, depending on what you do for a business, you may want some yellows. You may want some blues in there because blue is very calming. I wouldn't do a full office in blue because it might be a little too calming because you'll be too relaxed. Because usually blue will, you know, make you think of the beach or the ocean side. Mm-hmm. But you can definitely include some blues. But yellows brighten your mood. It increases the energy. So, you know, a kitchen, a playroom, or part of an office, yellow would be great.
Okay.
You know, each color has its meaning. And I know you specifically had asked me earlier about, you know, for an office. But each color has its frequency. Each color has its meaning. You know, green would be prosperity and reduce anxiety. Something that would be like a muted green is more versatile and it's not very distracting. So you could add that to an office if that kind of helps your mood. Purple is a very rich and dramatic color. So it's very royal and very luxurious. So if you want to, you know, kind of make yourself feel, you know, rich or romantic, that'd be a color. So each color, you know, has something special about it. It depends on the purpose of the room. You know, if you're looking for bursts mm-hmm. of energy, you add some oranges. That's the color of enthusiasm. It's good for exercising. It's good for stimulating the appetite. You know, so you may or may not want that color somewhere in the kitchen.
Okay, go ahead, Victoria.
No, I was going to say, you know, red, people normally think of red as like romance and roses, and that may be true, but I think of, when I think of red, I think of rage, anger, hostility. You know, it's a very basic root chakra color, too. It's very body related. It can help raise, you know, blood pressure, heartbeat, irritability. You know, it's also a very socializing, active color. So, you know, each color has its purpose. And red is very body related, whereas your greens are going to be more of a good balance. And blue, like I said, was calming to the mind, so that's more mind. And yellows and oranges are more emotion.
Yeah, And on your website, you have the color-coded chakra chart. Can you explain how, for example, the blue color associated with that fits in together.
Okay, so first let me explain a little bit what the chakras are. I don't want to skip over that. So the chakras are the energy centers of the body. So a very good analogy that I think a lot of people can relate to is you have your circuit breakers in the garage for the energy in your house, for the electricity of your house. So your chakras are like the energy centers. Those are your circuit breakers in your body. So the red one, which sits at the base of the spine, that's red. That's your root chakra. So you want to have red foods, red colors, red, you know, underwear, red clothing. That is going to stimulate that root chakra. We can go further into what each one does, but that's probably a whole show. Further up is orange. You want to eat orange foods, and that is your sacral. From sacral, you go up to yellow. That is your solar. That's going to be your emotion. Then further up is the heart chakra, you know, how loving, how compassionate, how accepting. A minor chakra would be pink. That's self-love. That's not one of the major ones, but I always include it because it's so important. Your throat chakra is blue. So if your throat chakra is off, you may want to wear a blue scarf, have blue foods. That would increase you know, the color. So you want to have all of these colors all balanced. Your third eye is kind of an indigo blue. It's kind of like a purple blue. And then your crown right above your head is the purple chakra. So you can find foods for these and you can help balance them. I mean, I use biofeedback. I use crystals. People can intuitively tell when their chakras are off.
Okay, so in a related category, okay, let's say people are getting motivated to paint one of the rooms, okay. What music, with all the stress that's been we've been under, what are some good music choices to listen to while doing an activity like painting? We did have about Christmas of 2019, we did a show with the Egyptian singing bowls. I enjoyed listening to Lenny's playing of those. But what are some of these other types of music that could appeal to the chakras?
Well, for chakras, I use just frequency music or classical music. I wouldn't be an expert to tell you, listen to country for this topic or listen to rock for that topic. I don't really get into that type of detail. I just use the frequency music. For example, if you're looking to have like spiritual type relaxing music, you're going to look for the 852 hertz. If you're looking for, kind of like problem solving or expression or solution, 741, transformation, 528, so there are different playlists out there. You can Google different artists. They sell their, downloads, or you can just even simply YouTube that type of stuff and find different frequencies for healing or repairing DNA for transformation. 528 is a very popular frequency that people like to use. So
that's interesting. When Lenny plays her bowls, she focuses on something a different chakra of each session, and it's have an interest in just how all those frequencies connect with different parts of the body. It's very interesting subject. I have a question later that maybe we can tie some things together,
people like to use the different crystal bowls. I do have like the universal C note, and I use that for like meditation. I use that for cleansing, the home, kind of breaking up, the negativity in the air. You kind of can feel when the air is a little thick.
Yeah.
So you can use crystal bowls for that as well. Some people have the metal ones, but I prefer the glass ones, the crystal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they do have a very rich sound to them. I'm just learning along with the audience with some of these ideas as well. And I think there's really something to it. I feel calmer, a little bit more focused after hearing the singing bowls.
Yeah,
it's something I've just, you know, just been getting into recently. You've given us a couple strategies as you know we go through this shoulder season, but I've noticed when I've been in getting my car, putting $5 of gas in the car or something like that. You see a lot of people, if it happens to be about lunchtime, coming in, they're getting a Slim Jim bag of chips and a pop for lunch.
Yeah, that's kind of.
I sit there and look at and. I understand it might be on the boss's schedule or something like that. I don't know the whole circumstance, but just looking at what you see people getting the grocery or the gas station for lunch really isn't some of the best choices.
I definitely have like a few foods that I would tell people to stay away from. I know people are really into microwave popcorn. That's like one of my pet peeves. That microwave popcorn, the bag is lined with this very specific acid. They call it PFOA. It's some long word, but basically all the microwave foods have that. And they really don't have any nutritional value. Microwaving your food just kills all the value. You definitely don't want to have microwave popcorn. Like, for example, stick margarine. I mean, everybody knows that, the saying is margarine is like a molecule away from plastic. It has excessive amounts of trans fat. Don't want to do, thick margarine. If you're going to do butter, you want to have like the real thing, like your ingredients should only say butter. Like, why have all these other words, anything with high fructose syrup. You don't want sodas, juices, pancake syrups, frostings, most of the stuff with food colorings, they've been banned in other countries, but not here. Why is it that it's still okay for us to eat it? Packaged cookies and cakes, especially if they're not homemade, any of the fake sweeteners, the different colored packets, little pink packet, yellow packet, blue packet. I tell people, if you're going to consume sugar, you're going to want, an organic cane sugar, or you're going to do something like monk fruit sugar. Because, the monk fruit sugar, it's keto, it's, the diabetics can use it. I mean, obviously I can't give, medical advice, but these are ideas for your listeners to go out there and start, researching what they're eating, and not just take it for granted. What you bought 5-10 years ago at the market or 20 years ago or whatever you grew up on is not the same item. The cereal is not the same. Don't even get me started on ketchup. There's so much sugar in there. And most of the time when something says that it is sugar-free, it's because they've added all types of other syrups and super bad things for you, So if you're going to drink something, just drink it natural, diet this and diet that. It's you're just fooling yourself, Nobody loses weight by drinking, a diet soda. Pizza. Pizza, the crust, the salt, the MSG, the high doses of nitrates, there's, unbelievably high fat in pizza. Sometimes they have, palm oil, corn oil, and sugar. Your spaghetti sauce is full of sugar. Bran, at first, is very frustrating. You know, you'll spend hours in the store and you spend more time reading and putting things back than you're putting in your cart. But once you get your favorite products or your favorite store, you'll know what you can buy, you know.
Yeah, Victoria, that what you just said about the labeling and it just I share in the frustration with you where it says, oh, sugar free, but they can get around it by adding all this other stuff to it that basically is the same thing. It's just, yeah. It'd be nice if there was actually truth in labeling, and one of my friends was telling me just the other day that if you're looking pinto beans or something like that, if you pick up the can, it should say like maybe water the pinto beans and like sea salt or something like that. You only want the bare minimum of ingredients in the cans. And then you get into some of the stuff that is doctors encourage their patients to drink while in the hospital that ensure that you get all these vitamins and minerals. And there's like the ingredients are like,
and
there's like 40 ingredients in it. Probably a quarter of the words are like 8-syllable words.
Mm-hmm.
Why you can't pronounce it? What purpose does that chemical have for you? Just going back to the, what part of the Mermaid Sisters was, recommending was, the fewer ingredients. If you have to buy something out of the can, you just want the bare minimum of things added to it.
There's times where you're going to have to buy, maybe some canned goods or some packaged stuff because you're, putting away, like for us in Florida, it's, when it's hurricane season, you're going to buy your candles, your batteries, you're going to put some canned food. That's an emergency situation. But for your everyday food, you want to make better choices than, a box of mac and cheese that has this cheese sauce in it for a couple years and you think that's going to be a healthy lifestyle.
Right.
It's all marketing ploy, you have to have the discipline to say that I'm worth it and I'm going to make better choices. I'm not going to let the marketing pull me in. I'm not going to copy what everybody else is buying or doing. And you have to make those healthier choices for yourself. And when I say healthier, your physical self, I mean, your mental self, emotional, spiritual, you're a whole being. You're not just your body. It's like having four wheels on a car. If one wheel goes flat, you're screwed. So you've got mental, physical, emotional, spiritual. It's not just one thing, because you can eat healthy and still be miserable, or die from, God forbid, some kind of, brain aneurysm, because we create these energy blockages with what we do or what we don't do in our life. So eating healthy the best that we can is just one aspect of it. It's not just all about your food. You know, it's everything that you consume, the music that you consume, the company that you consume, the food that you consume, the music, you know, the emotions. Do you sit with them? Do you process them? Your perspective on what stress is. You know, some people see stress as bad and say, oh, it's just competition. It's fun. So it's really your outlook on everything. You know, it's not just, you know, sugar or something.
No. I think you're making some great points. And this is, you know, just getting a little off track, but, you know, just points. I think it was last night, Tucker Carlson was, and that Dr. Mark Siegel were talking about this new study about, how the environment was causing a low sperm count, and mm-hmm. so like where there's going to, you know, be a smaller population and like 25-30 years down the road, and like what are the consequences, you know, in the future, but. Okay. I guess this new study that was, you know, just came out was looking at a lot of environmental factors that, you know, you just reeled off a whole bunch of stuff, you know, use of plastics. I think the science is catching up with, you know, or how we're poisoning ourselves. You know, we're just realizing that.
No, I agree. Yeah.
Well, I was, you know, really amazed by that, you know, what, 3 minute discussion, but, you know, we've been working on some ideas about improving individuals' can improve themselves, but you know, we can also help to reduce stress by working as a family. You know, there I'm in the South. You know, the farmers markets might be going on year round. You know, I still have about 3 more months to go before Anna and Sophia and Dimitri and, you know, the regulars start congregating for their farmers markets. But you can have family outings and garden as a family, canning and freezing. Do you encounter activities like that being used more frequently?
I think people are definitely, you know, this whole past year of 2020 with quarantine and things like that, people have definitely gone towards more family activities and spending time together. Even if at first it was because they were forced to, there was nowhere else for them to go, so they kind of had to mm-hmm. pick, you know, some time together. But, you know, activities such as gardening, they really ground you, you know, putting your hands in the dirt. And so that's good for you, you know, mentally and emotionally and physically to do the gardening. And then, you know, you're getting more organic and much more healthier foods than something processed. You get that satisfaction. You know, you're spending time with the family. You're learning something new that's very valuable. So that's always a plus. You know, family time, whether it's watching, you know, a comedy show or you're playing, you know, board games or card games, that bonding time most definitely helps with your health. I mean, we know that it's been repeated multiple times about how elderly people are much more healthier and happier when they're actually with their family than when they're alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of studies came out about the severe problems created by isolation in the last year. Standing outside, you know, my cousin having to stand outside the first floor window to wave to her mom. I've been through that too. So
that bonding time is important. You know, it's part of human. So the bonding, you know, like I said, whether you're gardening or gaming or, you know, shopping or cleaning or cooking, that bonding time is priceless, and it's just as important as eating well.
Well, and you also, that human touch.
Yeah.
At those moments, and, you know, for people who really need it, and, have those kind of passages in the new, I think it's in both, or, you know, both books of the Bible, about, you know, laying hands on people, and, you know, that's been recognized as, you know, an important part of healing. Mm-hmm. And just, you know,
yeah, that
being a human,
you know, the human touch and the hugs and that intention, and, you know, your grandparents, you know, hugging you or blessing you, and those intentions, mm-hmm. and that frequency, that vibe that they're giving you raises your vibration, raises your frequency, hence you do become healthier. And, you know, some of us are still alive because of the prayers of our parents and our grandparents. You know, some of us would have probably mm-hmm. never passed teenage years, but that is very important. And then it kind of opens the door to discussion on Reiki and other hands-on type healing stuff. So,
okay,
you know, it's more for, you know, your listeners that are open to, you know, Chinese medicine and other things like that to research and see what vibes with them, what they like, you know, and learn all these other alternatives that can help them when, say, they're isolated at home or, you know, they can't make it to a doctor. You know, I'm not saying don't go to a doctor. I'm just saying that you've got other alternatives to help you, you know, maintain your health along the way. You know, acupuncture, massage, they're all valid.
And Victoria, you just brought up Reiki, and that was one of the topics from earlier I was going to work in later, but now is a good time to do that. With Reiki and the acupuncture that you just mentioned, are you finding that Eastern philosophy, medical concepts are gaining wider acceptance in the U.S.?
Well, I can't speak for the whole U.S., but I would say in my circles, yes. I've seen people who, I mean, literally just, you know, within the last couple of weeks weren't able to move their arm, you know, even chest height, and then just one acupuncture session are able to lift their arm up. Like, there is a lot of validity and thousands of years. Acupuncture is excellent. I recently had my daughter get some acupuncture treatment because she didn't have health insurance at the time to go to a doctor, and she was afraid that she may have torn, you know, something in her shoulder from lifting weights. And she thought, geez, you know, if I need surgery, what, you know, someone at the gym is a specialist in this area and that area, and they all say that, you know, I probably tore something and I'm going to need surgery. And she had one acupuncture session, and she was already better. And after three or four sessions, she was new. You know, we told her to, you know, rest up, you know, and build around it. But there was no worry about, oh, I tore something and I'm going to have surgery. You know, she was able to then lift her hand over her head, whereas before she couldn't even lift. You know, of course, we said, you know, don't go lifting 200-300 pounds of weights just yet, but it's a real visible improvement. So I think people are more open to that, and it works. So why should we stay behind the curve when other countries are using it regularly? You know, it's like chiropractor, acupuncture. And they're all, you know, helping regulate the body and moving energy and putting stuff back in order. And you're talking about the nerves on the spine and muscles and blocked energy. That's all valid. It's not just about the modern medicine that we know, which is to treat the symptoms and pharmaceuticals. And there's always a time and place for that, especially in emergencies. My personal philosophy is it's a crutch. You need crutches when you twist your ankle or you break your leg, but nobody stays on crutches for the rest of their life. They figure out the problem and they fix it and they try to move on. You know, I'm sure there's probably instances where you can't, but generally speaking, nothing should be forever. Like, they on one pill forever. I had lupus. I had fibromyalgia. I had, you know, a lot of these autoimmune Sjogren's. You know, I had a lot of medical problems, you know, in my 30s and early 40s. I had a freezer bag of, you know, 20-something pills, three times a day, two of these, one of those. By the end of the day, I couldn't even tell you how many pills I took. So in a month, I'm consuming hundreds and hundreds of pharmaceutical drugs. So, you know, by then, my brain and my body, you know, they barely can speak to each other. I'm not sure what's going on. And one pain goes away, but now all these pills are messing up my digestive system and my stomach or my esophagus and, you know, you exchange one pain for another pain. You're just juggling pills and juggling different symptoms. There was just no way for me to get better until I was willing to make some major sacrifices and have some major discipline and make some major lifestyle changes.
With the story that you just gave us, okay, you know, there's so much is being made out of, you know, DNA studies and modern medical miracles, you know, the understanding of all this, you know, the minutest aspects of our bodies, but one of the it sounds like you can be led to believe that it, you know, our DNA is going to define us and our destiny, but can the choices, you know, just say, you know, food choices, our mental outlooks, circumvent, I don't know if that's the right word, in the DNA, you know, everyone has like something scary and like some, you know, grandpa had this or, you know.
I get what you're trying to say. I personally believe that, you know, we may be genetically disposed to have certain things in our family. You know, like I know a guy who's just waiting to have a heart attack because his dad died at, you know, 40 because of a heart attack. You know, but my advice to him was, you know, this is my friend's a spouse. I said, well, if you do everything exactly just like your dad, then great. You'll fulfill that destiny. Good for you. You know, if that's all you think about, if that's all you worry about, if you eat the exact same foods, if you don't express your emotions, if you do everything just like him, then you probably will. But, you know, we're smarter. We have more options. You know, maybe we have better food choices. You know, my own personal experience is my mother passed away from cancer. Well, I believe all the drugs from the cancer and the morphine that she was on for a couple of days, I think that just, you know, took her out. But people ask me, aren't you afraid? You know, aren't you afraid you're going to die? Your mom died so young from cancer. Aren't you afraid you're going to get cancer? And I was actually like flabbergasted and kind of shocked at the question. I thought, what kind of question is that? But it seems very logical to them that it would be an automatic worry for me to get whatever my mom died from. And I said, I'm not worried about it at all. And then they were shocked just as much as I was shocked at their question. And I said, but I don't eat the foods that my mom ate. And, you know, my mom was a single mom. She had stresses that I don't have. You know, I speak my emotions. I don't hold things in. I eat way healthier. You know, I have resources that my mother did not have. You know, I also have this other knowledge, so I'm more open. You know, we're not our parents. We don't have to be our parents. Things don't have to go exactly down the way it did for them. So, you know, my personal belief and my experience is, it doesn't have to be that way.
There's the change in mindset that can get the ball rolling in a more
my mom didn't
positive
have the information
direction.
That I have. You know, she didn't have the information about fast food. You know, she didn't have the information or was taught properly about nutrition or what your plate should look like. She had no idea what an alkaline diet was. She had no idea about eating for your blood type. She had no idea, you know, about water having chlorine and fluoride and all this other stuff in it. Like, she didn't know any better. So all those things that she consumed just kept flooding her system. And, you know, your body can only juggle so much. And then you put the pharmaceuticals that are supposed to, quote, unquote, help you on top of that. You've only got so much time and so many balls that you can juggle. And then when somebody tells you that you're going to die, we're going to give you, 4 days to live or a week to live or a month to live. You know, you can really scare the crap out of somebody and they believe it because we're raised in the society to say that we know nothing about our body. We don't know how to use it. But this other person who doesn't know us and just met us maybe last month is so educated and knows so much more than us that we should only believe in him as if he were God and what he says goes. So when a doctor tells you you're going to die, you're going to panic. And, you know, they told my mom she did not make her next appointment, and she was gone in 3 days or less.
Yep. You're making some excellent points. I just find this type of information just fascinating. So as we look at changes in mindsets and changing our environments. We can, like you said, not fall into the same categories as our ancestors. So does the biofeedback that you work with, is that playing some kind of role in being different,
yeah,
not being on the same path as the ancestors that all had the same hereditary problems? Maybe we want to take a look at biofeedback and what it's teaching us about ourselves.
Yeah. So the biofeedback that I do is quantum biofeedback, and the system itself is called the Life System. This system is manufactured in the USA. It is FDA approved as a biofeedback device for stress management,
mm-hmm,
but the same exact system throughout the European Union is actually a medical instrument that only MDs are allowed to use. Because we are not using it invasively, and invasive in the U.S. means I'm poking your skin. So here it's not considered a medical device, just a stress management. So I get that wonderful, wonderful tool and usage that various doctors are using, you know, in the U.S. and all over the world, you know, Africa, Germany, they're using it everywhere. And with the Life System, it measures the energy of your body, mental, physical, and emotional, what's coming in, what's currently in, and what's leaving. So I can see if you're getting over a cold, or if you're about to get a cold, or if you're experiencing a cold, and all the different symptoms of that cold. And I can give you frequencies to balance out all of those symptoms with, you know, various frequencies. As if you were a radio tower or a musical instrument, I can put you back in tune with the frequency. Most people don't feel it when they're in the session. I've had a couple of clients who are very hypersensitive, so they can tell, you know, like with a little, kind of, I don't want to say the word buzz, but like feel a little tiny sensation. You know, I had a woman say, are you working on my right hand? Like, I can feel it. So if you're hypersensitive to energy, you may actually feel a light kind of buzz to it. But the frequencies do balance and harmonize the client out. Now, how long that client or that issue stays balanced or harmonized really depends on the client. So if I give you a frequency to stop smoking, or if I give you a frequency for headache, but as soon as you leave, you do something specifically against that, then, you know, a tool is only as good as it's how you use it.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll stay in balance for 3 hours, 3 days, 3 months, 3 years. It really depends on your path. You know, it's like when you put braces on a kid. You can't take the braces off in a week and expect those teeth to stay straight. They're going to go right back where they were. You know, our bodies are going to try to go back where they were. So it's a tool that you use along other things that you're making changes in your life. You know, your habits, how you speak to yourself, how you talk to yourself is huge. Food that you eat, all of that plays a role in getting better.
Okay, so...
Go ahead.
So, the effects can stay with you for, being in tune with those frequencies can stay with you for a while. Because, you know, like, you know, what I was saying earlier about, I enjoyed, you know, when Lenny was, doing her singing bowls and, you know, watching her many times after that show. Yeah, the effects stay with me for, you know, a couple hours or so. You know, just,
yeah,
you know, one of those things where I, yeah.
Yeah, depending on your environment, your job, it can last for you a few hours, maybe for someone else a few days. You know, maybe someone sits in there and they walk right out immediately and say, I didn't feel anything. You know, it really depends on the individual, how open they are, and what else is going on energetically with their body. You know, when you're doing biofeedback, I can test dental, eyes, I can test for fungus, hormones, your muscles, see if there's pesticides in your energy field or in your body, your spine, your vitamin levels, vaccines, various miscellaneous like emotions, mental thought. It can do so much and gives me like flower essences, homeopathic or Ayurvedic frequencies as well. Check for bacteria, various diseases, your chromosomes, amino acids. Like the list just goes on because there's just so much that it can do. I can do a detox. I can do anti-aging. Believe me, this, when people really get into their sessions, they love it. They really do love it because it's extremely helpful. It's a tool. You know, I tell my clients, think of this as a report card. We're going to see where you are, where everything, you know, things that come up acute, things that come up chronic. We won't worry about what's balanced or secondary for now. And you write these down. You take your notes. You write in your journal. You make changes to your lifestyle. And then you come back. You come back in a month or 3 months, depending on what you're doing. And you see if the changes that you are making significant enough, you know, changes to your body on the results of your biofeedback. It's just like if you had a blood test, you know, or you checked your sugar levels. You know, you poke yourself, you check your blood, you see your sugar levels. You start changing what you eat, and then you check your sugar levels again to see if your choices are in line with the results that you're looking for. And it would be the same, you know, with the biofeedback. It's a tool.
Yeah,
it's a wonderful.
And it just seems like some people have been conditioned for those immediate feel good responses. Yeah. And if you can test for pesticides, you know, if they, you know, just have, you know, biofeedback session, they go out and, you know, have a cup of coffee, you know, that might have pesticides in it, or, you know, some type of food could very easily have a pesticide on it, and it just kind of undoes the experience that they just had. But, you know, one of the reasons why I really liked your appearance with the beardos, and I wanted to have you on tonight was, you know, maybe we can just get people thinking about making these changes and, you know, hopefully start incorporating some ideas to undo some of the various side effects of being in quarantine for what, a year, 13 months now. And, you know, I think you've done a wonderful job of giving us alternatives of looking for what may work best for person for a healthier lifestyle.
Yeah, and it's not something that's going to happen overnight. You know,
right.
You pick a couple things that you know, as far as nutrition, pick a few things. As far as exercise, you know, maybe you don't have the time or the motivation to go to the gym every day, but maybe you can go for a nightly walk with a friend or a pet or alone. Maybe you can say, mm-hmm. I'm going to take the stairs. You know, maybe I'm going to join, you know, some kind of, you know, sport I can join in my community. or maybe I want to do something for mental health or emotion. I'm going to, you know, get with a local group and either volunteer, or I'm going to learn to meditate, or, you know, there's different things that we can do, because it won't happen overnight. We've got to make new habits, and there'll be times where we might take a step back, and that's okay. The point is to never give up on yourself and always change the way we speak to ourselves. We cause more harm to ourselves than other people. It's easy to say or blame someone else. It's easy to want to take a pill and feel better instantly. But really, no one's going to save you, and no one can do the work for you. You have to start with baby steps. You know, with me, one, because I was just overwhelmed. Okay, I won't do high fructose syrup. I wasn't working out. I wasn't doing anything else. That was just one thing. And then 2 or 3 months later, I added a few more things to the list, and I started working out. You know, you start having a more active lifestyle, and write, you know, affirmations on your mirror with a dry erase marker or something. You know, read positive books, surround yourself with positive people, get new friends, get out of the toxic relationships. Know that it's okay to put yourself first. It's not selfish, no matter what you've been told maybe by your religion or by your family. You know, you are important, and you have to be your priority. If you make everybody else a priority, then when do you have time to be on your own list? What example do we set for our children by putting everyone else first? Sure, it's great to show compassion. It's great to be an awesome wife or mother or husband or father. But if you don't show your children how to take care of themselves, they're just going to work themselves into the ground the same way you did, and then inherit the same issues, whether they're physical manifestations with disease or depression. You know, it can manifest itself in any way. But being that example for yourself and for everybody else, it's what's most important. Nobody's expecting you to be a perfect example of anything. They want you to be real. People will follow you more and listen to your advice if you're realistic, if you share your mistakes, if you're willing to be vulnerable. People will listen to you. You don't have to be an expert or have a, you know, master's degree in any one thing. You share your experiences, you get good at what you do, and people will learn from you. You know, I find that the more I am open, the more I'm willing to share, the more people I have an effect on. I have people that barely remember meeting, and they'll just send me a message on Facebook, or they'll send a message with another friend via a text and say, you know, oh, thanks, Victoria. You know, the time that we talked about this, I was able to make these changes. She should write a book. You know, and they motivate me. So, mm-hmm. You know, make those changes. Get out there and learn. Learn about food. Learn about chakras. Learn about energy. Be open-minded. You have to be willing to unlearn everything that you thought was right and relearn what's going to help you and apply today.
Yeah, and, you know, one of my friends, you know, I was talking with my friends over the weekend, and it's saying, oh, okay, next show is going to be covering this and that, and, you know, the biofeedback, and she was saying that even in the summertime, you know, she's growing most of her own crops for her salads and, you know, the side dishes. She just started volunteering all this information about, you know, window boxes and mm-hmm. you know, growing sprouts in the winter time to sprinkle on salads.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so many
ideas
that just came out of this one, you know, just kind of chance conversation. But, you know, it's people like my friend who is just reeled off a whole bunch of these ideas that, you know, winter isn't necessarily a time of despair. You can still kind of grow stuff. You know, you may need to get a grow light, but mm-hmm. you know, it's those trying something different that you aren't really going to think that you can grow crops in the wintertime, but yeah, just bring a window box and, you know,
yeah.
put it on.
You get your starters ready. You get your starters ready for spring.
Yep.
You know,
mm-hmm.
sprout the wheatgrass. You know, I knew someone who started growing wheatgrass for herself, and it was, you know, a very relaxing project for her. And then she ended up growing so much that she started a small business, you know, and didn't even realize that, that what a positive.
Yep.
You know, outcomes. You know, you get healthier. You make an impression—not an impression, but you can influence people to make healthier changes,
right.
choices in their. And then, geez, you know, given how you look at it—is the glass half full or half empty? You know, it's that emotion
mm-hmm.
that we attach to things. You know, you'd be surprised at how much emotion plays into our health. You know, I feel like your heart tells your brain what to do. It's how you feel. You know. So there's a great book out there by Louise Hay called You Can Heal Your Life. It's an amazing book. It really puts a perspective on different illnesses. You know, there's a lot of great books out there that, you know, if it's winter by you that you can read, or if you're on the beach in Florida, it doesn't matter. You have to be willing to be open to learning all these new things. And if they work for someone else, they can work for you too.
Right. No, that's great motivation, and it just getting someone to take a chance on incorporating a new perspective into their lives, and maybe you're going to be rewarded, maybe not, hugely financially, but
taking a chance on yourself. Taking a chance that what if it goes
you're
wrong?
You're growing.
Because most spend time thinking about what if it goes wrong? If it goes right? What if all goes well? You know, most people don't do things in life because they think, you know, somebody's going to laugh at me, or it's a waste of time, or I'm not good enough, or it's, you know, I can't do that, or who would listen to me? But what if they do listen to you? But what if it does work? What if you do get the job? What if, you know, we all really think you're worth it? Like, we have to start thinking in the positive way, because I know this may sound cliche to some people, but, you know, whatever you focus on gets bigger. And so we just have to change our focus and our perspective, and know that we can do it and we're worth it. And it's all going to be okay in the end.
Good. What was the name of the book you just recommended? You Can Heal Your Life by
Louise Hay. Yeah,
Hay?
Louise Hay. Yes, H-A-Y.
Okay. Okay. I wanted to jot that down.
She has examples. Yeah, she's got examples in there of what she feels like would be the affirmation and the cause of the problem. You know, some people may think that, you know, it's a little too simple, but, you know, I've worked with a nutritionalist who helped some people that had cancer, so I'll just use that as an example. Breast cancer is usually if, you know, your breast represents mothering and nurturing and nourishment, but, you know, breast problems can be a refusal to nourish the self, you know, putting everyone else first, so, or over mothering or over protection. So, you know, a lot of women do that much more than men. So that's something to, you know, really consider. But again, life is about balance. So if you're taking care of other people more than yourself, it's not a huge jump to think that you're going to be ill or something's going to happen to you. If you're not taking care of you, who's going to take care of you? You know, so It's a great book. It really makes you think. You know, it's funny because I'll look something up for myself or a client or a family member, and, you know, there are times where I laugh and I'm like, yes, that's exactly that person. You know, anger is in the liver, or people with diabetes have lost the sweetness of life. I mean, there's just certain things that sometimes really feel like they hit the nail on the head. It's a very interesting.
Oh, it all makes sense.
Yeah, mm-hmm. there's books out there about raising your vibration. There's books out there on, you know, energy balancing. I know there's a book out there by Diane Stein, Essential Energy Balancing. There's just a ton of things that you can learn. You can get, you know, a crystal Bible and just start reading up on, you know, it's just scientific fact. You know, each rock has a different frequency, and start learning about that. You know, gems, geology, or there's so much that we can learn that we're not blind. There's a lot of great tools out there.
Well, Victoria, you still had some family and business things you wanted to get to before the night's over. Is there anything you wanted to? We can stay on for, you know, a little while longer. I just wanted to remind you that about the time to make sure that you get everything done. But you know, is there anything else you wanted to cover? You want to plug your website?
Yeah.
Get a biofeedback.
Yeah, quantumrejuvenation.org is my website. They'll be able to see on there that I use the Life System. I use a Zyto system. You know, I sell Life Vantage products, Young Living oils. Those are just things that, you know, over the last, you know, 10, 15 years that I started incorporating, and I know they work because I use them myself. You know, so getting over autoimmunes and things like that. Sometimes people are open. Try it and something, sometimes they're not, or if they're negative about it, you know, they'll try it for a week and say, see, it didn't work. Well, you've got to have the discipline to kind of stick with it. You don't go to the gym and expect to look like a model or, you know, a weightlifting champ in a week. You know, it takes time. So my website has some different things. There's ways to contact me for a session. I think, you know, just the website was the biggest thing. You know, essential oils, we didn't really get to talk about that. That's a whole another show. But, you know, there's oils that will align with different chakras, different purposes. So I really encourage your listeners to be open to using more holistic, you know, tools to make their life easier. You know, if you can maintain your health with these types of things, you know, it really does work. I use my essential oils for pain. I use them for relaxing. You know, I don't even have to take ibuprofen anymore because I use my oils, you know. So you just have to be open.
Oh,
that's not doing what we're, you know, we grew up on, you know, take an aspirin, you know, take ibuprofen, you know, this is what you're supposed to do. You know, everybody's forgetting the old-fashioned, you know, grandma says drink a peppermint tea and your stomach ache will go away, your stomach will feel better. Well, nobody's thinking about drinking a peppermint tea. You know, they're thinking about, you know, running to the store and finding a pill that they can just pop and that's going to be better, or drinking Pepto-Bismol and then that's going to be better. You know, I'm not saying there's never a time and place when you're in emergency or in dire, dire pain that you need that immediate relief. But again, we've got all these natural remedies that really do work.
Yeah, and there's the prescription for vitamin D. Why do you need that when you
go out in the sun,
cut the grass, like I'm going to be starting doing, you know, probably next month, and just absorb the sunlight. Why do you want to pay for some script when you can get it for free?
Yeah.
All this is just really fascinating. Terrific stuff. Material, like the food, it's just really.
Yeah, it's been a great night and great conversation. I appreciate the opportunity to get the website.
Oh, you're welcome
out there
to come back.
Yeah, have people, visit the website, be open up to, biofeedback, maybe find someone local that they feel comfortable with for acupuncture, or maybe if they're afraid of needles, they can start off with just acupressure, if they don't want to do the needles just yet until they're more comfortable with their practitioner. Find a chiropractor. I've got a great chiropractor, here in Osceola County, is not too far from where I live. He's awesome. If you see your chiropractor once a week, you keep yourself in line. You're least likely to catch those colds. You're least likely to, have these other issues. Going to a chiropractor regularly is one of the best things that you can do for yourself. There's other ways to stay healthy than just waiting for something to go wrong or break and then go look for the right pill for it. Again, I'm not saying that people should never see a doctor or, belittling people that have to take a pill. I was on them. Sometimes you need them for a crutch until you can resolve and get down to the root of the issue. And that's the problem, that we don't usually learn how to find out what the root of the problem is.
Right. And you start hearing more and more medical professionals writing about things like that in their journals. Victoria, you are more than welcome to come back and resume this discussion on healing techniques and living a better life. And I know you have to get back to your family, but I wanted to thank you for providing a wonderful coaching session for the Nightlight listeners tonight. And
no, I appreciate the invitation. Yeah, I appreciate the invitation. I had a really good time, you letting me kind of get my passion out there. And I think, if your listeners are interested, another show, I'm really big on the chakras just because they're the energy centers, and you can kind of make, foods and oils and emotions and everything else connect to each one. So as you learn about the chakras, how you pull in, other things, the food for it, et cetera. And I feel like that's the foundation of health, because like I said, that emotion, that food, that essential oil, that everything that goes with each chakra, that's how you're going to stay healthy. That's how you're going to maintain balance in life.
Okay.
Have a great night, everyone. And I really appreciate the opportunity. I hope everyone has a great night. Thank you so much for this opportunity, and I appreciate you.
Yep. Let's stay in balance until next time.
Absolutely.
So, thanks everyone for listening. Thank you, Victoria. Thanks, Barbara, for producing the show, and we'll see everyone next week.